They're going to go right along perfect with the message God has for you this morning.
If you would, turn your Bible to the book of Habakkuk, Old Testament. I'll give you the clue. It's called Habakkuk. To the Old Testament, it's between the book of Nahum and Zephaniah. Very short book. I was telling Brother Terry that this is only the second time I've ever preached out of the book of Habakkuk in 33 years. But as I did some background and I studied, there's some good stuff here. Habakkuk was the prophet to the southern tribe of Judah. And he is considered the Doubting Thomas of the Old Testament. You see, Habakkuk, the prophet, was there at a time when Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. And as the king of Judah, Jehoiakim had led the children of Israel astray back to idolatry. And because he led that nation, Israel, or the children of Israel, back to idolatry, God had to send the nation of Babylon to judge them. And beloved, if you don't think that leaders can't lead the nation astray, you're sadly mistaken this morning. Understand that there's always a price to pay when we stray from the teaching of God's holy word. Always a price to pay. And don't think for a minute that God's going to let us as a nation slide by. There are leaders out there today that want to continue to lead America astray. They want them to vote for people that are for homosexuals. They want to have abortion on demand. Even if the baby's born, they want to kill an innocent child. You say, you're going to get in trouble, preacher. You better shut that up, because you know what? Not only will they come and shut you up and put you behind bars, but hey, if you keep talking like that, we are going to take a stand as long as I'm the pastor here. And I'll go ahead and say, if there are some out there that are preaching for money, well, last time I looked on my birth certificate, my middle name wasn't Balaam. I'm not here to preach for money. I'm here because God placed a call on my life. He's going to hold me accountable if I don't preach you the Word of God. But there's preachers out there that do it for money. Hey, I could have done it several years ago. I could have took a church in Shawnee, Oklahoma. They had $10,000. Just for suits. That was your allotment for suits. But you know what? Nope. Not for one penny. A workman's worthy of his hire. And I'm satisfied with what God has blessed me through you with. I'm satisfied and content with all He's given me. I don't need no more. And I'll go ahead and tell you, God couldn't trust me with it anyway. Say amen. That's the truth. He's having a hard time trusting some of you.
Preacher.
Amen.
You got a Ford. What more do you need?
See? You're right, Brother Ed. That's what I'm saying. I'm content. Anyways, before I get into the message, I guess we better read the text. I turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Stand with me, please, as we honor God and His Word this morning. And by the way, I missed y'all last week. We were in church. Saw one of our missionaries there where we were at, Heritage, South Carolina. But, you know, it was good to have a chance to feed on the Word of God, be fed the Word of God from another pastor. But I still missed being in the pulpit. So, you got me today. Amen. I'm going to make up for what I didn't get to preach last week. So, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, this is Habakkuk, the prophet, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind feet, And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad to be in your house this morning. And I thank you for each home represented. Thank you for each member and each gift we have in your sanctuary this morning, Father. And Lord, you've heard the prayer request spoken this morning. I just pray that your will be done. You also heard, Lord, testimony of how faithful you are. Lord, we thank you that you healed sister, Lord. She's in remission. We just continue to ask that you continue to let your hand be upon her and restore her to her much wanted health. And may it be a testimony, your love and your faithfulness, Lord, and your care for your children. Father, I pray as we stand before the congregation, you'll give me the words to say, and I'll say those things you've laid upon my heart this morning. Pray, Lord, that ears, hearts will be open to receive what you have for them through the word. May they be fed this morning, your truth. Lord, if there's one amongst us that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, I pray they'll be saved, or it's everlasting too late. But Lord, may you be worshipped in spirit and in truth. May we glorify you today, and may everything that we do, Lord, honor you, for this is the day that you have made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. We ask these things in the blessed name of our Savior, your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated, please. Now again, when you think about Habakkuk, you got to understand, you'll read, like I said, it's a short book, three chapters. If you'll read those chapters, you're going to come to the same conclusion, hopefully, that he came to. You see, there's a lot of times we don't understand why we go through the things that we do. Amen? So many times we question why. Why this? Why that? And in here, the key words in this text I read was moreover and yet. Moreover and yet. And you see, Habakkuk questioned. Kind of reminded me a little bit of Job. He made his case, and then of course, you can't argue with God. Amen? You can make all the cases you want to, but God always has the final say. And the conclusion that he came to was simply this. We do not serve God because of the material blessing that he gives us. We serve God because he is who he is. He's God. And a lot of us sometimes have that wrong. Oh, we want to worship you, Lord, when things are going good. When you're blessed like you're blessed. Long as I don't have any problems, Lord, I love you. I'll stand up and I'll testify on your behalf. But when trouble comes into your life sometimes, what do we do? Why? Question. Why? Why? Well, the thing is this. God is God. And God is God when the circumstances are good. And he's still God when you're going through circumstances that are beyond our control and things aren't good. And Habakkuk finally realized that. It would do you and me well to realize that. You see, bottom line, Habakkuk and all of us need to realize that we should thank God for everything all the time. Anyhow! Amen. So with that said, three little top water points. I'll bring them. We'll close, give an invitation. First one is this. Thank God his sovereignty never changes. You see, even though he questioned God, why? Why did the old pagan Babylonians have to take the children into captivity, Lord? Can't you just purge our sins and make us righteous? And can't we just go about it without any judgment? Boy, that would be nice. But that's not righteousness with God. You see, to know to do good and not to do it, it's sin. And I'll go ahead and say it. Our problem is we don't know how to do good. Because I inherited a nature that keeps me from doing good. But, listen, he sent his son into the world
to die, so that now His righteousness is imputed in me and in you if you've been born again. Now we don't have to worry about trying to do good. Amen. But I'll go ahead and say this. When you trust the Lord, you'll want to do good. Amen. How many of you like getting mud on you? We don't, do we? I mean, could you imagine Brother Terry running after and jumping in the big mud puddle? Could you imagine just splashing it all over him? He wouldn't do that, neither would I. Would you, brother? My point is this. I don't want to go back to the dog pen. I don't want to go back to that mud puddle because I know before how dirty it was. And I finally got clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Christ. So, notice what he said. Circumstances change in life. Would you agree? I was thinking about Joseph. And remember Joseph in Egypt. Now, Joseph became a mighty man. God had his hand on him. He blessed him. Second in command of the whole nation. But remember, Pharaoh had a dream. And nobody could interpret it but Joseph. And Joseph said, hey, I can interpret that. There's going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt. But then there's going to be 7 years of what? Famine. So, again, you never know. Those 7 years of plenty, Joseph had enough sense to say, hey, let's store up. Because when the famine comes, we'll have what we need for the people. And by the way, that was the Lord looking out for Israel. And even for the Egyptians, even though they didn't know the true and living God. What about Job? Job had it all. He had everything. He had a family. He had wealth. He had everything. But then, in one day, lost it all. Again, there are circumstances that change every day. I can be completely healthy this morning and on my deathbed tonight. Because we cannot control the circumstances around us. But one thing we can count on is that God never changes. Malachi says, I am the Lord God and I change not. Understand, my circumstances can put me on my back. But listen to me. One thing I can tell you, God never changes and He's never going to change. And even though everything around me crumbles, I can still trust God. Amen. I can still trust God. He doesn't change. Who can know the mind of God? You see, we try to figure out who God is and what His plan is. Stop trying. You're wasting your time. He tells us in Isaiah 55. No! You don't know my ways. My ways are not your ways. Your ways are not mine. My thoughts are not your thoughts and your thoughts are not mine. That's what he says. But thank God, anyhow, because our sovereign does not change. And even though I don't understand sometimes why you and I have to go through what we go through, understand one thing. It's taken me a while. Take me being saved. Take me a while being in the ministry to finally grasp this. But I finally come to the conclusion that even though I don't understand God's plan and His will at times for my life, I understand this. He loves me and He knows what He's doing and I can trust Him. Amen. I can trust Him. A lot of times you and I sure don't act like it. Amen. We trust the doctor more than the great physician. Amen. You got it, sister. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. We trust others before we trust Him. Beloved, I want to save you some time and heartache. Just put your trust in Him. He's never going to do anything that's going to hurt you. Why can't we just believe that? You see, when we come to that place where we truly and fully trust God, because we know who He is and we worship Him for who He is, then we can apply 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Brother Jerry, read that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. First Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. What does it say? Brother, that is in the New Testament.
Okay.
16 through 18.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks for this is the will of God. Christ Jesus.
Did y'all get that? First of all, no matter the circumstances, you and I are supposed to rejoice evermore. You say, how can I do that? I mean, I'm sick. I'm flat on my back. I don't have food in the cabinets. I don't have a job. I don't have money in the bank. How can I rejoice evermore? Because you know who God is. And God is not going to leave you alone. And He's not going to meet your wants, but I guarantee if you're His child, He'll meet your need. Guaranteed. And then He says, pray without ceasing. Do you know what that means? Who are you praying to? I hope you're praying to the God of heaven. Because He's the only one that can answer our prayer. You see, you pray all the time. I just don't pick up my Bible and carry it to church on Sunday morning and then pray. I pray every day throughout the day. I'll get you good. I also read my Bible every day, throughout the day. No, I don't sit there straight 8 hours. I read it of a morning, set it down, do what I need to do, but then I pick it up again. And then I pick it up again. Okay? And then finally, what was the last one? About giving thanks. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'm talking about giving thanks for all things. No, that's okay.
In everything, God,
Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me as sick as I am, this disease I'm carrying, this valley I'm in, you mean to tell me I'm supposed to thank God? Yes, you are. Because God loves you. He's going to see you through. You're not alone. There is no circumstance you'll ever face in this life that God can't handle. I love what Jesus said. All ye that are laden and heavy burden and heavy laden, come, I'll give you rest. We need to learn to take that burden to the Lord. Now, number two, notice what he says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no more meat, flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Boy, sounds like a bad time ahead, right? For Judah. Yeah, it was. Why? Because of their apostasy, their disobedience, their idolatry. But look what he says. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, what I love about that title, the Lord. It means Jehovah, the self-existent one. Amen? Not only does it mean self-existent, it means this. Let me find it. I wrote it down. Eternal, changeless, covenant-keeping God. The I am. Yet, I will what? Rejoice in the Lord. Beloved, we need to start rejoicing. We moan, groan, complain, and gripe every day. I'll be the first to tell you I'm guilty sometimes. Woe is me. Oh, Lord, they just don't understand. They don't understand. It's not for them to understand. All that matters is that He understands. Amen. Point number two. Thank God His salvation never ceases. Look at the last part. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How many are glad you saved? Amen. Oh, we can do better than that.
Amen.
It's a lot better. Amen. Understand something this morning. I could lose everything today. Bad as I'd hate to lose that old Ford, I could lose it. I could lose my home. I could lose my family. I could lose my health. But listen to me. That's right, sister. I will never lose my salvation. You can take things away from me, but you can't take Him away from me, and you can't take what He gave me. Amen. Thank God for my salvation. Understand. Hebrews 7:25 says, we are saved to the uttermost. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? You're as saved as you're ever going to get.
Amen.
Amen. You can't get more saved. Can't lose it. It's yours forever. So no matter the circumstance, no matter what's taken away from you, that's one thing that never will be. And yet we as God's people mope and we walk around with long faces thinking, oh, woe is me. Listen, understand, He's given us something that is worth more than all the gold and tea and china. Amen. And it reminds me about salvation. The word salvation is more than just the soul. Yes, He saved our soul the moment we were born again. Regenerated. But listen to me. That word also deals with deliverance and rescue. And this world, I hope you understand, child of God, this world is not your home. We're just passing through, and He has promised to deliver and rescue us from this place.
Amen.
Now don't get me wrong. This place ain't bad. But this ain't heaven. And I'm looking to that city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And beloved, when we get there, what we've went through down here, it's going to be nothing, absolutely, Sister Gladys. Nothing with what He's prepared for them that love Him. Beloved, again, thank God for our salvation. Thank God anyhow. If you're saved, no matter the circumstances, you've got a lot to praise God for. Because it can't be taken away. Whew. And I know there's teaching out there that says you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. They just ain't read their Bible. Because this Bible is God's Word. And it tells me once I am sealed forever. It tells me that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It tells me that I am in the palm of God's hand. And there's no man able to what? Take me out of His hand. So if you are a born-again child of God, don't worry about stubbing your toe and losing your salvation. You were saved. You were saved. So thank God anyhow for our salvation. And then look at the last verse. The Lord God is my strength. I thank God that the strength that God gives me never collapses, preacher. And by the way, that word strength means ability. And you know what? God gives you and me as blood-bought children of His, the ability to what? Serve Him. To serve Him. And understand this morning that even though there's times I feel weak, Brother Shiro, there's times I feel like I can't take another step, He's up there holding me up, making sure I don't fall. There's times it feels like it's impossible, but He is the God who does the impossible. There's times I feel like, what am I going to do, Lord? What can I do, Lord? After all, I'm just human. Holy Spirit just whispers in my ear, son, just keep on trekking. Just keep on trekking. There's no need to come too far. Just sit down. Just sit down. Notice what he says here. This is what Habakkuk said. He says, the Lord God is my strength and He will make my feet like hind feet. By the way, anybody know what a hind is? And I'm not talking about a hiney. I said a hind. It's a deer. Absolutely. Anybody ever deer hunted? Anybody ever tracked deer? They're pretty fast. They're pretty swift. They're pretty agile. And what the writer is talking about here is how swift and agile the feet of the child of God is when it comes to trouble. You see, if you've ever hunted deer, it's amazing to me, preacher, that those deer sense when it's deer season. You see them all the time out there when it's not deer season. But on deer season, that opening day, they're gone. You know where they go to, Brother Rich? They go to the top of the mountain where there ain't no trouble. Amen? They're smart. And what Habakkuk is saying is at hind feet, he takes me to the top of the mountain where I am safe and I can rest in God's freedom. So no matter what we are facing, the circumstances, the problems, listen, we can stand because God can lift us up to the mountaintop. You see, we tend to look at the glass as half empty. Should always be, no, it's full. It's always full. Because God is who He is. See, what Habakkuk's trying to say is this. Everybody reads Habakkuk. I want you to understand. Because of who God is, He turns my doubts to shouts. Gives me peace in the midst of the storm of life. And if you glean anything, I pray that's what you glean this morning. We doubt, we go through things, we have circumstances arise that we are not in control of, but God is right there with us, and dwell on what you do have, not what you don't have. By God, I have everything. If I'm a born-again child of God, I'm saved, can't ever lose that. You can take everything away from me. Except for that. That's right, He won't put more on us than we can bear. You're right, Sister Francis. But I don't have to worry about my salvation. I have it, and I possess it, and it's eternal. And finally, He gives me the strength to go one day at a time, fully trusting and relying on Him for what I need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Did He say some things? No, He said all things. All means all with God. So brother and sister, in close, Habakkuk wants you to come to the same understanding he did. And that's simply this. Regardless what I face, I am going to thank God anyway. We got a lot to be thankful for. Those of you that are saved, that's three little top water points. There's even more. For the sake of time, we'll get into that. But for those of you that are under the sound of my voice and you don't have that assurance, you're not saved. You've never been born again. Those circumstances all around you, you got to deal with them. God doesn't want you to have to deal with that. He just wants you to turn to Him and trust Him. First and foremost, for salvation. If you'll give your heart to Him by simple childlike faith, He will save you. And you have His promise that He'll be right with you every step of the way. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. So, this morning, what do you need? Child of God, I hope you're encouraged this morning. I hope you know to thank the Lord. Anyhow. And the altar's open. When's the last time you just thanked Him? We don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving for the born-again child of God. But when's the last time you just said, Lord, it's been a while. I hadn't thanked You. Well, can I encourage you this morning? Thank You. If He's leading you, feel led, thank Him. But sinner friend, Jesus died on the cross to save you. And we do have a better place waiting called heaven. And He has promised everyone that receives His Son as their Savior one day will be gathered to be with the Lord in heaven. And there will never be a separation again. I encourage you, come and be saved. Life is too tough as it is. You have to carry that burden by yourself. Jesus says, I'll carry it for you if you'll give it to me. So come.